Back in 1965, a long time ago, I took a speech course from Miss Arlene Cole, and she was adamant about pastors. What comes out of their mouth first becomes like a fishhook for the rest of what they're going to say. And she was adamant about that. Whatever comes out, it better be a fishhook so that it captivates everyone's mind. I remember one of my classmates, his name was Don Johnson, and we had to do a demonstration and talk for 3 minutes. Don took us into a special room with his close friends. There was about 5 guys, and he said to us, "I'm going to demonstrate how to put on a bra." And boy, did he get our attention. And so he went through the whole speech, and we laughed, we roared. And then we told him to do something. If you want to make it really funny, don't laugh. Don't laugh. Do it without laughing. So he shows up at class the next day. He had cotton in his ears, ready to do his speech. But there was one thing I haven't told you about Don Johnson. He was a stutterer. Can you imagine how that Miss Arlene Cole was out of her chair with jubilation about that moment? I remember it, and it's over a half a century ago. My work today is to get your attention and get it all the time. Do you know one of the great debates of the church today is, which is more important, the birth of Jesus Christ or the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I have had this debate all my ministry. Now, I'm going to take what you need to say. If there's no birth, it can't be a death. Take that off the table. Don't even use that. Then just think about the birth of Jesus Christ. Think. Just think. We know very little about the birth of Jesus, all three kings, three women. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. He didn't have a place with all that there. But then think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think of what we know about it. We know so much. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, what does he hammer out? The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most important part of Christianity. In fact, I've even said this. You want to kill the church? Take the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ out of the scriptures, and we have nothing. Years ago, I was blessed by Father Schneider. He was living on the other side of the tracks, but when he was on that side, I was on the other side of the tracks. He came to me one Sunday. In the afternoon, he says, would you want to teach in our college, Hilbert College? I said, what would I teach? He said, world religion. I knew nothing about it. I told him, oh, don't worry about it. You can do it. He said, but I got another favor to ask you. I said, what is it? He says, I would like you to teach Pauline theology to our nuns. At Hilbert College, me teach nuns Pauline theology? Oh, sure, I'll do it. And I want to tell you something, my beloved. We fell in love. I have 35 nuns that love me. Can you imagine that? They love me dearly. And I love them. I can tell you a lot of over time. Well, anyway, this one nun comes up to me, and she must have got my feeling about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And she says to me, you know, Pastor Francis, I really am one of those people that really believe that the birth of Christ is more important than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said, okay, let's have a little discussion. She said, sure, right now. I said, okay. What do you know about the birth of Jesus Christ? And she goes on and on. I said, have you ever seen anyone wear a nativity set around their neck? She says, no. Have you ever seen anyone wear a cross around their neck? And then they have that robe on. She takes it out from under her, and she shows me this cross. It's about 6 inches And she said to me these words, "You have now convinced me that the most important part of the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ." I had a friend of mine, Roger Grossplatz. He remembers me when I was in kindergarten with him. I'm 79 years old, so you know how old Roger and I are. He calls me up. He's living in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. I'm living in West Falls, New York. And he says, "Don, I want your honest opinion about something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "About 6 months ago, we lost our pastor. He got another call, went to another church, and we got a new pastor. And he's been with us for about a month. And we had a death in the congregation. And he refused to take it." And I said, "Why?" He says, "I asked him the same question. Why don't you want to take our member's funeral?" And you know what this preacher said? "I don't know the person." Now I want to tell you something. There's a difference. Do you know the difference between a eulogist and a preacher? Do you know what the difference is? A eulogist stands up and says, "Oh, the guy was great, wonderful. It doesn't matter who he is or what he is, but they rise. They really do." Now, what does a preacher preach? It's only the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What else is there to preach? I'm bragging a little bit. I have officiated at over 770 funerals, memorial services, gravesite out there. Why? My name was in every funeral home in Western New York. And I told them, if there's somebody that can't afford a pastor, I'll do it for nothing. And this one day, Paul Pacer of Pacer Funeral on George Urban Boulevard calls me up. And he says, "I got a tough one for you." There's no tough one for the gospel. I know it. And he said, "A young person took their life." Have you ever heard of that? Suicide? Yeah. "This priest would not take it because there's a law. And I don't know what it's about, but wouldn't take this person's funeral." And Paul said to me, "Would you do it?" I said, "You better believe I will." I showed up the night before that funeral. I went right to those people. And I told them, "I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ." And the mother said, "Please don't mention that he took his life." I said, "I'll never do that. I'll never do that." And I got up the next day, and what did I do? I preached about Jesus Christ. What else is there to do? What else is there to do? I want you to know, as a preacher, I know that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ can permeate anything that you and I go through. Do you understand that? I don't care what is happening in your life. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important part of our life and hope. I need some help. Is there anybody want to help me with my sermon today? Gene, stand up. Dean, you stand up. Bubbles, you stand up. Pat, you stand up. Sherry, you stand up. I'm going to exclude you, Francis, because our name are Francis. Guess what? 2, 4. There's 6 of us standing right now. And we're the only people left in the world. You can sit, Francis. No, I'm going to use you later on. I'm going to use you later on in my sermon. Okay, I don't write my sermons. Did you know that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 of us. We're the only people in the world. I'm going to tell you something about us. One of us is the next to be called eternally home. Did you know that? Did you know that? But guess what? This is my attention getter to you. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. You may be seated. You can stand up now, Francis. I need some more people. Beth, come on, William. Come on there, Marlene. You sit. You're the only one that's going to sit, but you can stand up too. Stand up, every one of you. I got to tell you guys something. I want you guys to know the facts of life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Of the seven of us, we're the only people left in the world. One of us is going to be called the next to eternal life. One of us. But this is my attention getter to each one of you. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. You may be seated. With the exception of my wife. Stand up, Carolyn. This is personal. You know, Carolyn, we've had this discussion over and over and over again. Which one of us is supposed to leave the other? You know I don't cook. Who's going to make my supper? Do you remember how I comforted you years ago with your breast cancer? I came to our living room, and you're crying with your Bible. And immediately I knew she was crying, so I ran to my office like a chicken. But I knelt down on that couch in our office, and I said, Lord, why is it that I can preach the gospel to everybody, but when my wife needs it, why can't I? And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm going to go back in that room, and you let me talk through you. Do you understand that, Lord? Do you understand? And I came back in there, and I remember what I told you. I said, Carolyn, you can worry about dying when you see me in the casket. All right. The kids will take good care of you anyway. Now, when I stand alone, guess what I know? I am the next to be called eternally. I'm the next. But I take the cotton out of my unbelieving ears, and I hear the Lord whisper to me, Don, blessed are you who have not seen me, and yet you believe. Amen.